Let us pray. Oh Lord, we're thankful for this day that you've given to us to delight in you. We ask that you would be our hope. Our joy would be rested in you. And as we open your word and we hear it read and preached, that the Spirit would move mightily, that we might see the lost converted and your people built up to the image of our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you're turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, we'll be reading and looking at verses 1 through 6. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And as you're turning in your Bibles, I remind you that Luke is written to confirm the certainty of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that again today, this morning. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. This is speaking of Christ. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Unless you've been hiking the Appalachian Trail for the last 4 months and have had no access to the internet, news, or any other human being, you're aware that there's a little bit of a concern over coronavirus COVID-19 that started on the other side of the world, literally, and has worked its way here to our nation. It's something that everybody seems to be talking about, and everybody seems to have an opinion about in regards to what's going on and what the concerns should actually be. And while I don't study epidemiology, I do, by God's grace, study theology. And while Pastor Nick is a doctor, he's not a medical doctor, but he is a doctor of theology. So while your elders are not medical doctors, we are Christ's servants who serve him by serving you. We have a great love for him and a great love for his people. And as we think about this great truth of our service and our calling to you, that's why we've taken some of the steps that were announced this morning and you've seen in the emails, out of great caution, but yet at the same time balancing a great responsibility that we have to minister God's word in homes, but also here in the local congregation from the pulpit. God's word is powerful, and that is what the Spirit uses. You know, there's, as I mentioned, opinions all over the place, and there seem to be two extremes. So if you're driving down the road of COVID-19, there's a ditch on both sides. One side of the ditch, I've heard some people say, this is the apocalypse. It is the end of all things. That's why I'm going to buy everything I can find. The other side of the road, the other ditch, is this is a hoax. This isn't really a big deal, and I'm going to laugh at you because you mentioned it. I think we're probably somewhere in the middle. Again, I don't study epidemiology, I study theology, but I think it's safe to say we're somewhere in the middle there. But one thing is definitely sure. While we may not know exactly where we can place in that line what exactly is going on with COVID-19, we know that your neighbors are fearful, they're anxious, and they're worried. And some of them are even panicking in the midst of this news and what they're seeing and experiencing. We had friends send us a video through social media yesterday. One of the big warehouses, you know, the warehouse stores where you get like the 50-gallon tubs of peanut butter. Yesterday, the line to get in the store was wrapped halfway around the building. And people were sitting there with their carts wanting to get in to just, I guess, buy anything that they could or what they don't have. There are states that are now posting warnings saying drinking bleach will not prevent or cure COVID-19. I think you've got to be pretty fearful to be drinking bleach, to be waiting outside for hours to get into a store. The anxiousness, the fearfulness of our neighbors is real. You know, it's wise to follow doctors' counsel in preventing the spread of germs and sickness. That's why we've done some of the things we have. It's good to be concerned about it. But the level of fear and anxiety and panic over COVID-19 that we've seen building and building and now coming to an even higher level, it indicates our neighbor's great need for Jesus. A great need for salvation that would grant them the ability to rest in God's perfect sovereign grace. So let us respond as the church always has, with confidence in Christ and love for our neighbors. You know, 500 years ago, the reformer Martin Luther wrote this about epidemics. He wrote, "You ought to think this way." Of course, he's writing to Christians. "Very well, by God's decree, the enemy has sent us poison and deadly offal. Therefore, I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine, and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated and thus perchance infect and pollute others and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. If God should wish to take me, he will surely find me, and I have done what he has expected of me. And so I am not responsible for either my own death or the death of others. If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely as stated above. See, this is such a God-fearing faith, because it is neither brash nor foolhardy and does not tempt God." 500 years ago, ample good advice for today as we look at how the church has responded to situations similar to what we are in the midst of, and yet even sometimes much, much worse. So as Christians, trust our Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Trust, as he tells us, that nothing can separate you from him and his love. For Christians, trust that God is in control, and we trust that God is good, and we trust that God's ways are better than our own. So trusting God, let us now look at our passage this morning to how God grows his kingdom, that we might trust the ways that he has chosen, we might trust his perfect providence as he brings it about. So as we look at these few verses here in the beginning of chapter 9, by God's grace, I want you to see that God grows his kingdom through the faithful preaching of the gospel. We're going to look at two simple things. Jesus gives the 12 power and authority, and Jesus sends the 12 to proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus gives the 12 power and authority. First thing we see is, as we look to this, is Jesus empowers the 12 with dominion over the demonic. You remember that we've already seen Christ's power and authority over the demonic, and now he gives that power and authority to the 12. So the incarnation, as we looked at that, it seems like ages ago now, but it was just a few months ago. Looked at the incarnation of Christ. What we really saw was a great spiritual D-Day. As our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, came, invaded the kingdom of Satan to crush it, that he might redeem his people, his bride, the church that the Father gave to him. And Jesus even says in Matthew 12, you turn to verse 28, that his casting out of demons What this really is a sign that testifies to the truth that the kingdom of God is here. It has arrived. It is one of the things that shows that and proves that. And the power and authority over demons is now given to the 12 that they might go out in this mission to preach the gospel. And as they go from city to city, they're given dominion over the devils that they might cast them out, again testifying to the truth that they are bringing God's word, that they are bringing the true gospel, and that God's kingdom has arrived. What God's people have been waiting for is here. And this power and authority that they're given in this testifies to that truth. Now, there was a shelf life to this gift. So you shouldn't expect the elders of covenant to be going out casting out demons. That's not the point here. But at the same time, don't miss the fact that the elders of covenant are going to war right behind our captain against the devils. We don't sit back. We don't think that there is no real spiritual conflict happening. But we use the weapons that God has given to us, his word and prayer. And by faith and his grace, we use it. And we go to war against the devil as we follow our captain, our king. And Jesus, he gives the elders power and authority to wield these weapons for his glory and for the benefit of his people. But he also shows that these weapons are important. You can't miss it as you move through the New Testament. It's clear that elders are called to shepherd. They're under shepherds of Christ. They're called to shepherd God's people, to live amongst and in the flock as one of the sheep ministering to the other sheep. In Acts chapter 20, we read in verse 28, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." Elders, you've been called to shepherd and care for the church that was bought by the blood of Christ. And we read in James, the end of the letter of James in chapter 5, "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." Well, faithful elders are called to the role of shepherding, to use the weapons they've been given, God's word and prayer. And as they shepherd amongst and in the flock, that power and authority given to them, lovingly rebuking, lovingly encouraging, seeking to show their dominion over the demonic as they make war with the devil. So Jesus empowers the 12 with dominion over the demonic, but Jesus also empowers the 12 with dominion over sickness. Again, this power and authority is given to the 12. We've already seen, moving our way through, that Jesus, he has power and authority over sickness. We've already seen where he's healed. We've already seen where he has raised individuals from death. He has complete power and authority over these things. And he's giving that to the 12, that they might go out in this preaching ministry, and as they heal, again, it's testifying to the truth that what they are preaching is God's word and that the kingdom of God has arrived. Now there's as I mentioned earlier, a lot of fear and anxiousness across the world, across our nation, in Tennessee, even in Oak Ridge, Knoxville area. A lot of unknownness, concern and fear for this COVID-19. And it's interesting, I saw last week, there's a very large church. If I mention their name, you probably know who they are. They believe that God has given them healing gifts. But they posted online that due to concerns of COVID-19, that they were suspending their healing ministry and the teams would not be going into the hospitals. Now, I don't know what kind of self-awareness they have or how much self-delusion. It seems to me that they have the gift of healing. Now's the time. Deploy the troops. But that's because they really don't. See, this again, just like this power to cast out the demonic that the 12 had, this power of healing that the 12 had, there's a shelf life. It's not forever. Your elders are not going to come to your home if you test positive for COVID-19 and heal you from it. It's not going to happen. Now, what we will do is pray for you. We will come and minister the word to you. We would never abandon any of the sheep that Christ has given to us to shepherd over. But we're not going to operate exactly the same way that the 12 did in bringing healing. I can't heal. Yes, Pastor Nick's a doctor, but he can't heal you from COVID-19 either. None of the elders can. We don't have that healing power. But I do know a guy. I know a guy who can. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gives this power and authority to the 12 that it might testify to the coming of the kingdom, and it might testify to the fact that they are preaching God's word. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. His power and authority is not temporary. He is the one that grants and gives life, and life abundant and peace. So it's important that you listen to what the CDC says and your doctor's recommendations. That's one of the ways that we, as your elders and the deacons, are prayerfully trying to navigate this as well. We have live streaming this morning for folks that are needing to self-quarantine or under situations where they might not need to be around crowds at the moment. So we're listening, but yet at the same time, we're not giving up the importance of the proclamation of God's word. But remember, even if you live in Chattanooga and you bought $17,000 worth of hand sanitizer, there is no amount of hand sanitizer that is going to ultimately heal you and protect you. It's going to stop the judgment that comes. There is no quarantine that will grant ultimate peace and joy. For those things are found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus gives these things. So my humble advice to you is turn off MSNBC and Fox. You know it's out there. We've all heard 1,000 times what to do. And start realizing the truth that your neighbors who are panicking and are anxious and fearful, your neighbors, what they need, they need to hear the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to hear the gospel. They need what the church has always been about, what the church's mission is. And that's why we see here that Jesus sends the 12 to proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus sending of the 12 to proclaim the kingdom of God makes clear in and of itself what the kingdom of God is. Even how he sends and how he goes about this proclamation of the kingdom makes it clear what it is. You know, the kingdom of God isn't a political kingdom. It isn't a geographical kingdom. It isn't a kingdom built on social justice or you name whatever the fad or fancy might be. Those are not the things that the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is not about campaigning for political parties, planting trees, or conducting protests. And those are all things that are claimed by some to be the kingdom of God and how it is advanced. But that's not what the scriptures show us. The kingdom of God is now God's reign over the universe, purposed in the redemption of the church. And then as we read from Daniel 7 and we touched on this now and not yet aspect of the kingdom of God, there is the coming future consummation of the kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth. even as we saw that picture of in Daniel 7 of the Son of Man, which is Jesus' favorite title for himself in the Gospels. As he has come and he is establishing here, we see the kingdom of God is established. And now he is beginning the advancement of it through the preaching of the word. What's interesting is Christ determines the way that his own kingdom arrives and advances. It even hopefully reminds us the fact that Christ gives different purposes, responsibilities, and roles to Christians and to the church at large. There are lots of things that Christians are called to do or can do that are good, but are not what God has called the church to do. Its mission is not what's used to advance the kingdom of God. The church gathers saints to the preaching of the gospel. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes to the elect and gives them life. They come, they're baptized, they and their families, and they are admitted into the family of God, adopted into the family. And then as that preaching is used by the Spirit and the calling of the lost, that same preaching is used by the Spirit in the equipping of Christians that they might then be ready to go out and apply God's word to every square inch of life that they come in contact with, every square inch of culture and this world. So as the kingdom of God is advancing, we see in our passage here that the Lord Jesus Christ sends the 12 to preach the gospel. Now he's given them this power. He has dominion over the demonic. He has dominion over sickness. But they're sent to preach the gospel in the advancement of the kingdom of God. And we talked about this already. The elders at Covenant, all the elders across the church, across this world, right now they don't have the power and authority to cast demons out or to walk into hospitals and heal people. But they have been given the power and the authority to preach the gospel, to preach God's word, that the Spirit might use that in the advancement of the kingdom, the building up of the saints. And if we fully understand what happens, what's happening right now, it's not because Pastor John is preaching, but it's because the Spirit is working. That's where the power is. That's the authority. It's in God. He is the one that is doing these things. And it's God's way, not man's way. And we turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, starting in verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So some might hear earlier when I told you, when I said, you know, your neighbors, they're anxious, they're fearful, they're panicking. And you need to share the love of Christ with them and the hope that you have in the gospel. Now some that are in rebellion against God would hear that and say, that is utter foolishness. And again, God tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:18 and onward, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Maybe even a little bit in the back of your mind or heart, you're like, man, this is, we're going to advance God's kingdom through preaching? Really? Yes. Yes. Yes, what the world looks at as foolishness. That's actually the power of God. And I get it. You look at me and you're like, yeah, I don't know how we're going to accomplish this. And that's fine. Because I look at myself and think the same thing. But Christ, it's not going to happen. But the things that we see as foolishness, the things that this world particularly sees as foolishness, that is what God uses, again, just to glorify himself, that we might not boast in anything but in Christ. For 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit's been growing the kingdom through preaching. This world was turned upside down through preaching. And it wasn't because those disciples were smarter, wiser, more charismatic. It had nothing to do with that. It was because the Holy Spirit worked through them. The power and authority of God went forth. And all that he had decreed, his perfect will, happened and is continuing to happen. Preachers are God's servants. And the Holy Spirit uses the faithful preaching of the gospel and God's word as a means of grace to save and to sanctify. You see here also that Jesus prepares the 12 for the reality that some will not believe the gospel. He prepares them for that in the way that he tells them how to go about this preaching tour that they're about to go out as they go from city to city and town to town to town preaching the gospel. He tells them not to take anything. Which is a little different because later in Luke, we're going to get to eventually, he actually says, y'all need to make sure you have a sword and a bag and you need to have everything. But this time, he sends them out, tells them to take nothing. He's going to provide for them completely. He tells them to go, and as they are preaching the gospel, as they are utilizing this power and authority to testify to the truth of this word, testify to the coming of the kingdom as they are casting out demons, as they are healing the sick, that there will be those, someone will come to them and say, stay with me. Let me show you hospitality. And Jesus says, but if no one does, then he gives this very strange thing where he says, shake the dust from your feet and leave. See, there was that time, the ancient Jews, as they would come back from a journey from Gentile lands right before they re-entered their homeland, they would shake out their jackets and their coats and their sandals, and they'd get all that dust off from where they just were. I don't want to carry any of that in. I'm done with it. It's gone. I am away. I'm home now. Well, in the same sense of finality, Christ saying, look, there's going to be time. You're going to go into one of these little villages, and you're going to preach the gospel, and you're going to do the things that I've given you power and authority to do, and no one is going to invite you to their house to stay. So I want you to shake that dust off and move on. Keep going. He's clear about that. There will be those who will not believe the gospel. There are others that God has for them to get to. They're to be faithful and to move on because Jesus has prepared the way for them. So not everyone's going to believe. Not everyone we share the gospel with is going to believe. Not everyone we invite to church who comes and sees God's people worship. Not everyone will be converted. And that doesn't mean we stop praying for them and start sharing the gospel and the love of Christ, but at the same time, saint, don't let that wreck your world. You got a lot of other neighbors. You got a lot of other folks you can share the hope of Christ with. Be faithful and trust God in the means that he's given to us in the advancement of his kingdom. So Jesus gives the 12 power and authority. Jesus sends the 12 to proclaim the kingdom of God because as we're looking here, the main thrust that I want you to remember is that God grows his kingdom through the faithful
preaching of the gospel. You know, COVID-19, again, it's causing fear and panic and uncertainty. Some of the uncertainty is because we're uncertain. Doesn't mean we shouldn't be concerned. Doesn't mean we need to panic. But it does point, as we mentioned, to the great need of God's grace and peace in all of our lives, but especially in those right now that are in the grips of fear and anxiety over something that, at least in their mind, is unstoppable to an extent. But in times of calm or crisis, whatever they may be, you'll remember we're told in all seasons to rejoice. So whether we are in a time of calm or a time of crisis, we trust the Lord. We pray without ceasing. We rejoice in God's goodness and His grace. We share the gospel with others. We share the love of Christ as we're able to. And we continue to support the preaching of the gospel here and around the world, because that's what the Spirit's using to advance the kingdom. That's what God has chosen, this foolish way, to glorify Himself as He accomplishes the things that He has decreed from eternity past. May He be glorified in all things. Oh Lord, we do pray that You would be glorified in all things, especially in the saving of Your people. Even as we look at it, and what we see is, and we're reminded of the great rebellion we have against You and our sinful nature, yet You loved us before we loved You. We have nothing to boast in but in Christ. So we ask that You would give us hearts that long to share the hope that we have with others, especially in a time right now that is full of anxiety and fear amongst many of our neighbors. Lord, may we be quick to share the love of Christ, to share the gospel, to bring Your word to bear in a loving way, that we might encourage those who are in need of encouragement. But Lord, not in empty words. Might we encourage them with the only real hope there is, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.